The King of Glory comes, the nation rejoices, as we all rejoice on this very special day. And we celebrate Christ the King, our helper, the one that's beside us, always getting us through all those situations that we don't want to get through in life by ourselves. Jesus is there for us. I want to tell a story about a friend of mine. Her name was Toni. I had the privilege of working at Goodwill Industries for about 8 years as the rehab nurse, and I met lots of wonderful, wonderful people that taught me so much, taught me things that I would never have learned otherwise. What a privilege to work with them. So my time at Goodwill Industries, I came for 8 years, and I met the most wonderful people in all my career. I'm thankful to God that I could have that privilege. The one that I want to talk about today is someone named Toni. Toni was born with a tumor on her face. And she had wonderful parents who just simply adored her. And they taught her that she was a child of the King, that she was beloved, that she was royalty. And so she grew up, despite the way she looked, thinking that she was the most wonderful person in the world because she had parents that told her so, how much God loved her. And so as a little child, she was kind of an evangelist, and she kind of went around the neighborhood telling people how wonderful they were and that they were children of the King, and then singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know." But she sang to them, "Jesus loves you, this I know." She was a wonderful little girl, but she had some things coming up that were not going to be so easy for her. Growing up with some flaw in your image, she had one side of her face that was perfect, and then one side that was a tumor that kept growing. And so, as she approached middle school age, well, she had an ear that kind of hung a couple inches lower than it should have, and a nose that was distorted in size, and the swelling and the tumor was more, and she had swelling around her eyes. Her eye kind of popped out a little bit, too. And she had, you know, half a lovely lip. You know, the face was perfect on one side, but the other half was distorted. This little child had a mouth that sagged, and she had teeth that were, you know, just misplaced. It did not look good. And so we had a wonderful girl, but she came into middle school saying, "Nobody loves me." People started making fun of her. Many of the children were wonderful to her, but there were the ones that bullied her, called her names, pointed her out. Many times they didn't sit with her at lunch. Middle school was not fun for her. And so life went on. She put her head down on the desk so she didn't want anybody to see her. She didn't look people in the eye. And this was a change from this little glorious child who loved everybody and showed love and compassion. She found little love and compassion for her in the schools. And so she went into senior high in the same problem, and she was so frightened of being there. She laid her head on the desk, didn't look at people in the eye. She's a wonderful, wonderful girl. I just adore her. But she had a tough time. I was working as a rehab nurse at Goodwill Industries, though, at 8 years, my wonderful job, my favorite job. But she came into our lives as a girl who would not raise her head and look at people. And it was, you know, sad to see. And we would say, "What are we going to do with Toni?" Well, we tried to bring her into the society in which she was living. I taught a class in health concerns, of course, but also trying to get the young people to learn how to be independent livers, how to take care of themselves, how to cook. I was good. I can't cook very well myself, but I was helping to teach them how to cook, how to make change, how to open a bank account, all those things that all of us had to learn in life. Well, Toni kind of discovered that she maybe knew a little bit more than the others did because her parents had taught her all of these wonderful things. And so she thought, well, it's kind of a big class. It was kind of a big class for just me to teach people how to make change. And so she started helping me. And so She became, I called her my assistant professor because she was such a wonderful help for me in my class. And so we got to know all the people in our class much better. And she showed love and compassion. And she taught the rest of them love and compassion. And so once again, we said, what do we do with Tony? And so we thought, she's got to be prepared for a job. She's a wonderful woman. And so we started taking her to nursing homes. And she was just a beautiful, beautiful person, such a caregiver and so full of love and compassion, and taught them about that they too were children of the King. She had kind of forgotten that when she was in middle school and high school because she was so depressed. But finally, it started shining through her that she was a child of the King, as were all the people that she was working with, and she let them know. And she did a lot of singing of Jesus loves me and Jesus loves you, and their lives were transformed too. And so we saw that she could be a giver in the life of all these people at the nursing homes. Well, some of them were down on themselves. Some of them kind of felt like they had a crown of thorns because life was not good. But this little gal just shone in the society in which she was in. She was wonderful for them. They felt better about themselves. They got excited when she'd come into the room. And so she was at the point then, our job at Goodwill is to find them a job. And so we had her interview at a nursing home, and she got a job as a receptionist at the nursing home. So here was this girl with the ear that was down about 2 inches, the sagging mouth, the swollen cheek, the eye that was droopy and swollen, but she fit in there just beautifully because she was filled with the love and compassion for all these people. Then she came back to me one day and she said to me, I have a gift for you today, Mrs. Olson. And so she had been at Penny's and had her picture taken. And I thought, well, you know, all of us want to have our picture taken on the good side. Well, this was a picture of her that she had taken, but it was of her whole countenance. She had the beautiful place right side, very ugly place on the left. But she gave me that gift with such pride, and she said, I have learned to love myself, even the bad side. And I said, it's not a bad side. It's who you are, the gift that you are to the people that with you are having such wonderful relationships with. And so this is our little Tony. But one of the things she always did was, as she got better, you know, with the improved Tony, she would smile at people, and she would just, I think she was testing them to see if they'd smile back, but she'd go up to them and she'd give her a little smile with the crooked mouth and the awful teeth, and she'd say, hi, I'm Tony, and they'd look at her and they'd smile and say, I'm whatever, because they were delighted with the fact that she could show such joy with all the problems that she had. And so this was her life. All the people in the nursing home, she'd greet them. Hi, Tony is here. So I feel like on this Praise the King's Sunday, we're all wearing these crowns. Some of us feel like they're a little tarnished, and some of them feel like they're a little thorny. But the crown of the King, Christ the King, is with us all the time. And that is what challenged Tony with her life and changed her life, because she knew that she was the child of the King. And she told all the other people, you are a child of King too. And so it was a smile. Hi, I'm Tony. So I hope that you'll go about your daily lives with a smile for everyone and say, hi, maybe I'm a child of God. And that's the very most special thing that we can possibly be. Thank God.
Sometime in October or September, I guess, I got an email from Pastor Beth asking me to participate today. And immediately all the reasons for saying no popped into my head. But when I told Joyce about the request, she didn't say a word, but just smiled at me. The more I thought about it and prayed about it, I thought, why not? The following is the result of that answer to my prayer, and I'd like to share some of it with you. Life is a journey, not a destination. What a novel concept when I first heard it. I have no idea where it came from, but I'm able to accept it and reflect it, that my life has been a journey and definitely not a destination. I would like to share the following readings with you because for me, I can say unequivocally that Christ is King of Kings on this Sunday, November 22nd. During a period of turmoil 30 or so years ago, I found myself in considerable stress over job requirements, loss of my dad through death, loss of my mom through dementia, other parent and stressors. And Joyce, just one day out of the blue, came up and handed me a copy of this poem entitled Footprints in the Sand. One night I dreamed a dream, and I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints, and I noticed that many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest, saddest, and stressful times, there was only one set. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. He whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Wow. Every Sunday, we are invited in church to pray as the prayer taught us by Jesus. I will quote, my Bible quotations will be from the King James Version because that's what I was raised with and it's still the best. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. During Lent, just prior to the beginning of Operation Desert Storm, I was trained for Desert Storm to be a casualty notification officer, which meant when a serviceman or woman would either die or be severely injured, I had the privilege of going up to the home and knocking on the door and sharing that information with them. Kind of bugged me. And I remembered reading many years ago the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, and it came to my mind, and I read it. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Whereas there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may seek not so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Thank God I never had to do my job. I was raised in a home where classical music was the norm. Real classical music. Beethoven, Bach, not the new Christy minstrels in this day and age or something like that. But my dad was a professional concert violist with the San Francisco Symphony prior to my parents' marriage. And that definitely did settle the fact that that's my kind of music. We were exposed to it. In preparing for this, I thought of George Frideric Handel's Messiah, and especially the Hallelujah Chorus. One of my favorite emotional pieces to listen to. I had no idea how many hallelujahs there were, but there are a bunch of them. And removing the many repetitions in this chorus leaves us with an amazing message. Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The kingdom of this world become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever, King of kings and Lord of lords. Wow. Oh, for your information, there are 44 hallelujahs and there are 35 words in the message. Thought you might like to know that. Every year in October, Joyce and I go to Redmond, Oregon for a week. We have a timeshare there. We have a definite plan for each day. Monday is go to Sister's Day. Tuesday to go to the factory outlet is that day. And Wednesday is this and so forth. So on our Monday, we went up to Sister's today to shop for souvenirs. If you haven't noticed, I'm really kind of a t-shirt kind of guy. I really like them. And the more they say, the better I like them. And I have one that's falling apart after being worn substantial number of times over the last 10 years. And I needed to get a replacement. So we went to the store where I got the shirt and asked if they still had it. Well, of course they didn't. But all of a sudden, Joyce comes up, and she found this t-shirt she thought I might like. I'm wearing it today, and no, you can't have it. It says, I can do Christ, he gives me strength. Philippians 4:13. When I received the invitation from Pastor Beth about today and inviting me to participate, could today be nothing more than a consequence? You know, an occurrence? Just a throw of the dice cubes? Or is it an intentional wake-up call from the kings and kings of Lord of Lords and Lord of Lords? And I choose to accept the latter. Thank you.
Riding my bike, walking our dog, George, running around the kitchen, cooking, playing softball, golfing, bowling, just going for walks with the family. Helping friends when they call with little building projects. Working at the church. It's not really work. It's fun. But helping out around the church. All these things I love to do, but I can't now. Because of darn broken legs and the broken back. It's not really the kind of life I thought I signed up for. not really enjoying this at all, just laying in this hospital bed and laying in this bed in the rehab center and even just laying in bed at home, just laying there, not really liking it. In fact, I don't even know if I want to, I just don't feel like I want to come in. Oh, hi, Doc. How are you? Yeah, I'm, all things considered, I guess I'm fine. Just all busted up. So tell me, what does it look like? Oh, okay, I get it. Couple broken legs, crushed feet, broken back. Oh. Okay, where's this going, Doc? Just tell me. Just tell me, where's it going? Really? Serious? You got me put back together? I mean, those bones you told me is like going in there with finding pickup sticks inside my legs. But you got it all put back together? Really? Oh my gosh. You're an angel. Oh my gosh. Thank you. So, can you tell me how long I might be like this? Really? I'll be better eventually? Can you tell me how long eventually is? I'll take eventually. I'll take it. Thank you, Doc. Okay. That's not quite so bad, I guess, but here I am still in bed, just laying here. I can't do all those things I love to do. I don't lay around. I don't even sit around much. I can't do things, and I can't do it, and I'm just frustrated, and I just don't know if I want to go on like that. Come in. Oh, Carrie and Benjamin and Leisha. Oh my gosh. God, it's so good to see you guys. Thank you for coming and just spending time with me. Looking at you guys is like looking at angels. Oh, thank you. Thank you. You don't know what this is like going through this. I said, I got to be honest with you. I just don't feel like I really even care about living. Come in. Oh, well, hi, Pastor Beth. Well, hi, Pastor Eric. Well, thanks for coming by and visiting with me. This is awfully nice of you. It's very nice to... Hold on a second. Come in. Oh, well, hi, Jan. Well, hi, David. Hi, Ron and Jim and Frank and Verna and... Oh, my gosh. Vicky, Darren. Well, what are you guys doing here? I don't feel like I'm really presentable right now, just laying in a bed and all bound up in casts and stuff. Really? Just, you want to come by just to give me a hug and visit with me and chat and laugh and giggle and tell jokes? Jokes about me, right? That's okay. I can take them. But you just want to visit? Spend time with me? Tell me that you care? Really? Really? Oh my gosh, you guys are angels. Oh my gosh, this just makes me feel so much better. Thank you. I don't know how to say thank you other than thank you. I would stand up to give you a hug, but then I'd crumple to the ground right now. So lean over. I'll give you a hug. Thanks for coming, you guys. I appreciate it. Okay. Yeah, anytime. Anytime. See ya. My gosh, that was so cool. My friends took time out of their busy schedules and stuff to come by and just see me. and tell me they cared. Wow. I'm feeling better. My gosh. So, gosh, I'm trying to... Why? Why did they do that? Why did... I mean, they're like angels. God must have sent me my angels down to visit with me and take care... Wait a second. 2,000 years ago, God sent Jesus to take care of all of us. So that we would have somebody that cared about us, but that we recognized, we could actually look at him. We don't know what God looks like. At least I don't know what God looks like. There was a picture of him in the Bible one time I saw, but I don't know if that was really him. But I don't know what he looks like. But I know what Jesus looks like. And he came down. He was sent by God to be with us, to tell us that he cared, and that he loved us, and that he hugged us, and he was one of us. Oh my gosh. I've never been really good with all the religious stuff, the Bible stuff. I just can't get it sometimes, but I think I'm getting it. God sent my friends to me to make me feel better, to love me, to hug me, to tell me it's going to be all right. You're going to get better. And we're here for you. We'll bring you meals. We'll build you a ramp so you can get into your house. We'll call you. We'll come visit. We just care about you. Oh my gosh. Isn't that what happened 2,000 years ago? Oh my gosh, I've got my own set of angels here. And it feels good. I don't need to sit here and mope. Yeah, I've got a couple busted legs and a broken back. But they'll get better. And my friends are here to say, you'll get better. And you know what? I think they're right. I think they're right. It does work. All those prayers from my friends, all those hugs, it works. It's okay. It's okay to cry. Feels good. Feels really good. It feels really good to have all those friends. Don't know how to thank them, except to say thank you. And stand up in front of them and say thank you. Wow. I'm good. I'm good. Reminds me of kind of at church. When we're saying our prayers and we say, God is good. No, not to me. To me, I say, oh, he's good.
When I was asked to speak today about my reflections of Christ, of what Christ the King meant to me, I paused and thought, it's not an easy answer. As with most of you, a lot of who I am as a person was shaped by things and experiences in my life. In my 33 years on earth, I have been fortunate enough to experience multiple ways in which Christ has demonstrated his work. I thought of a couple stories that I might be able to tell, one of which could have been a loss of a family member or my best friend at the age of 10, or maybe my sister's diagnosis with a central neurocytosis or brain tumor. and how she had a full remarkable recovery. Would it be my diagnosis with type 1 diabetes, or our most recent and epic struggle with Laura being in the hospital for 76 days in the hospital with the possibility of delivering our daughter Sage at 24 weeks. Amazingly, that was the hardest, but it's not what shaped my trust in Christ. It was, in fact, my diagnosis of type 1 diabetes at the age of 10. To give you some background, I wasn't really scared of much at the age of 10, but I had a epic fear of needles. Probably like most children, but mine was a little bit more extreme, and even till this day, I can't even see it on TV without getting a little queasy. So, of course, what a perfect person to end up with diabetes, right? Now I would have to subject my life to a minimum of 4 shots a day, and not to mention multiple blood sugar tests for the rest of my life. As a child, I remember asking why. Why me? What did I do? And I was very angry because I knew I didn't deserve this. It wasn't until my first experience at a camp for children with diabetes did I learn that I wasn't alone. It wasn't until my first experience as a counselor at that same camp that I realized that I could make a difference. It was here where I met some of my greatest friends and eventually the love of my life, my wife Laura. It took almost 10 years from my diagnosis to realize that while in pain, Christ had guided me to find purpose. For 5 years, Laura and I found purpose in becoming directors of that same camp that we grew up at the age of 10 and 11. We are currently no longer at the same capacity at the camp, but it has helped form our current life, because nothing would be the same without hearing those words, "You're now diabetic." So did God give me diabetes? No. Things happen in life, but I believe that we are guided to find purpose greater than myself. Learning to live for myself was easy. Learning to live for others is the hardest thing you can do. And when you make the choice to live for others and not yourself, something happens. Something changes. Living for others is the secret sauce. When you begin to live for others and not yourself, you emerge in moments of happiness and you find contentment. What keeps my faith strong is I know that life will be hard. But with Christ's reign, whatever happens, I have faith that it will work. It will shape my life in more ways than one, whether I realize it or not. I trust that somehow it'll work. We don't know how the power of prayer works, but it does. For me, I continue to pray. I continue to trust. I continue to, no matter how hard it may seem, try and understand that our kingdom is not of this world.